Spark something uncommon this holiday season with the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it a bit less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your special list, all in one spot. Gifts that will spark joy and wonder and delight and that feeling of, this is exactly what I wanted, which of course we want everyone to feel when they receive a gift from us, right? And so Uncommon Goods scours the globe for original, handmade, absolutely remarkable things, and somehow they know exactly the perfect gift for every single person you know. Here's a few of my favorite gifts that I found on their site. Well, one is for myself. I actually got this for myself on their site a couple years ago. I found cute wall decor for my sun, moon, and rising sign. So a Leo for my sun and moon and a Cancer rising constellation decor for my wall. But my boyfriend, he loves to cook. It's like a meditation for him after a hard work day. And I found so many unique different cast iron products because he loves cast irons, like a cast iron garlic roaster or a potato baker, waffle maker, pizza maker, so many unique ones. And I ended up choosing this Dutch oven, unique and versatile Dutch oven, which is going to be so perfect. Also kind of a gift for me because he'll just make some yummy meals for me with it. I found some other things I thought were cool, like their pasta night kit, their book nook reading valet, an acupuncture tension release mat. So many unique Uncommon Goods to choose from. And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out this season. And Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the US. Very important for me. And they have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere, and they even have gifts that you can personalize. From holiday host and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not the same old selections that you could find just anywhere. I highly recommend just going to their site just to pique your curiosity because there are so many unique gifts, creative gifts that you could gift anyone you know, truly. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give $1 back to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/magic. That's uncommongoods.com/magic for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
We talked about us coming home to ourselves. I think us coming back to the elements is also this coming home, right?
I personally was really trying to create something that allowed people to really sit with each of the elements, come back home to each of the elements, heal with the elements, just build this new reclaiming reconnection that may have been lost, a very intentional reconnection with the elements.
It is a process of patience because they're not going to respond immediately. They're not going to come forward to somebody who's doing it on a whim because it's kind of like starting a novel or starting a really big project. You really want to get somebody that's invested, who's going to see it through to the end.
In the Hindu religion, there's a lot that you kind of learn about connection, spiritual guides. They teach you that it's always around you, whether you're practicing or not practicing, or you're spiritually connected or not. Everything around you will always create that moment, that feeling.
Hello, hello, magical friends, yomis. My name is Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. And today I am honored to have a special conversation with three incredible women again. We brought back on Nyasha Williams. This will be her third episode, along with Grace Bonda and Kamishka Naidu. And together, they created the stunning Elemental Alchemist's Oracle Deck and Guidebook, and it was a powerful tool to help us tap into the wisdom of the elements, ancestral ancestral guidance and the decolonization of the mind and spirit. We were all calling again from different parts of the world, which was wild. And then we did another interview. Nyasha still in Colorado. I was still in Utah, but Grace and Kamishka, they were in South Africa and in separate parts of South Africa. So of course we had a four-way Zencastr call again, and we dive into their inspiration, their journeys, how this deck can help you truly connect with the universe and your ancestors, how to connect with your ancestors. We go deeper into that. And it's a conversation that just beautifully weaves together culture, creativity, and your creative awakening, your spiritual awakening, I'd say as well. So I can't wait for you to experience the magic of this collaboration. And with all that being said, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Nyasha Williams, Grace Bonda, and Kamishka Naidu. Well, I have three lovely ladies with me today. Nyasha is back. This is her third episode, and she brought two other lovely ladies, Grace and Kamishka, who I'm just getting to know right now. They're both in South Africa when Nyasha and I are both in the mountain time zone, and it's just wild and so special that we all get to connect in this way. So it's so lovely to meet you all, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you
for having us. We're so excited to be in the space and just talk the Oracle deck.
Guys, very happy to be here.
Yay! Do you mind introducing so everybody can recognize your voices?
Sure. So I'm Nyasha Williams. I identify as a weaver, creator, activist, and I say that I create towards the world that my ancestors deserved and future children need. And so when I'm creating, I'm imagining new worlds, new ways of being, and dreaming towards collective liberation.
Beautiful. And also a lot of them already know you, the listeners. And Grace.
I am Grace, and I am a writer and a student. I really want to become a librarian. I think that the preservation of knowledge and books is very important and vital, and it's the way that we've always passed down information through the generations. So I really have just taken to kind of to that role. And I love books. Yeah.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us today. So I'm Kamishka. I'm a multidisciplinary artist. On the deck, I'm an illustrator. I'm known for also doing the Black Tarot with Nyasha. I'm so grateful to be on this podcast today.
Amazing. Okay, well, the illustrations are incredible, and I love that you two, Nyasha and Grace, co-authored this. So before we dive into the deck, this is the first question that I ask all of your magic guests. And Nyasha, you just answered this, but it might be completely different today. There's going to be a few questions that are going to be very similar to last time, but this is the first question. I'm just curious, what is lighting you all up most in this season of your life? Nyasha, you're the hot seat again because you set this up.
I think what's lighting me up is community. I feel like there's just been some really cool connections within community. And I'm grateful when I see community willing to share. So people not moving in scarcity mindset, people moving in abundance and really wanting everybody to win. So I feel like I just see so many beautiful spaces right now where people are sharing information, sharing connections, sharing resources. And that's what we're going to need to be okay and be successful and get out on the other side. So I am here for all of that. And that just warms my heart.
I love that. That's beautiful. Oh, also, by the way, man, why didn't I grab it? I have the Black Tarot deck. I need the Elemental Alchemist. So I'm going to have to, and don't send it to me. I'm going to support, but I'm really excited to hold that in my hand. And anyway, Grace, I'd love to hear what's lighting you up most in the season of your life.
Right after coming from winter, which was really introspective and gave a lot of room, it felt more like it planted the seeds for emotions inside projects. I've started writing again, and after having writer's block, obviously, but I started writing again, and it's been like drinking from a well of water. And I just feel like it was so seasonal, like the shift, how much energy is going into it. And mentally, it kind of just feels like the season of growing. So I feel like growing through creativity is what's really lighting me up this season.
So poetic and beautifully said. I love that we're also in different, completely different seasons as Niyash and I are about to enter into winter and feel that sense of spirit. And Kanishka.
So the thing that's lighting me up at the moment is I've been away from home for a while. So I finally came back, got to introduce my family to my partner. And just seeing how, you know, he took to South Africa. And just having connected with all my family and, you know, back in South Africa, there's like it's a different season. There's a lot going on here. And it's really nice to come back and just see how much the country itself has changed, you know, because there's a lot of tension and then there's, you know, all these beautiful things happening around. So I think... yeah, just seeing people move into spring, as Gray said, like going to a different season, oh, it's lovely.
That's one of the best transitions. I absolutely love that. And I love that your partner is with your family, meeting your family. That's so sweet. Let's begin talking about this deck. I'm curious, who came up with this idea? What sparked this idea? What made you decide to collaborate with a couple other women together on this idea for Elemental Alchemists?
I first heard about the project when I traveled as an au pair in 2021. I traveled to Colorado and stayed there for some time with a host family. And Nyasha lived like nearby. So I would go over and we'd kind of brainstorm and bounce ideas that we had. And we had kind of both been using Oracle decks and tarot decks, but at the time it was mostly us getting more into using Oracle decks because tarot decks had come in so strong, and she shared with me that she wanted to create an elemental Oracle deck, and there's like a lot of them, tarots, oracles correlated to the elements. But when she explained her vision to me, it just felt like it was a different project. And I think we both had different connections to the elements that we thought we could brainstorm and expand on. I connected more with earth and fire, and she connected more with water and air. And we kind of also collaborated with the spirit section of the Oracle deck. But we, through this process, we were learning so much about each other and about the different elements that we were working on and connecting on. It was very intentional. And I feel like it aligned with what was happening in our lives at the time. Like, I was in a new place and writing this project was very grounding, and it made me engage with the elements that were in my environment. So in creating that, I hope kind of that's what people got from it as well.
Yeah. So we just talked about seasons and the shift of seasons. And I think for me, part of this deck was me stepping back into moving seasonally. I feel like in decolonizing the calendar and like looking at the calendar differently, like we're all following this Gregorian calendar, like many of us, if you're in the Western societies, you're generally following the Gregorian calendar, and it makes no sense in reality. So, you know, for me, it was like, I want to start moving and living seasonally and listening to my body in that way. And I think, again, we talked about us coming home to ourselves. I think us coming back to the elements is also this coming home, right? I personally was really trying to create something that allowed people to really sit with each of the elements, come back home to each of the elements, heal with the elements, just build this new reclaiming reconnection that may have been lost, a very intentional reconnection with the elements. And so... yes, we divided the deck into five sections. So you have your pretty stereotypical earth, water, fire, air, and then we have spirit, which Grace and I wrote together. And like Grace said, she wrote fire and she wrote earth, and I wrote water and I wrote air, which is different because I co-collaborate on a lot of projects. And most of the time we're like combining our words together and like finding rhythm together. Like with my mother in love, we really like played on our words together and it's like one cohesive piece. It wasn't like she wrote a sentence, I wrote a sentence, right? This was like Grace really wrote a section and I really wrote a section. So very different than my other projects. But yes, I just saw this vision of people being able to really come home to the elements and sit with them.
Which we all need. And I think it's so, so fascinating that for whatever reason, Grace connects more with fire and earth. I don't know if it's your signs or what. And then Niasha, you just connected with the water and air. How symbiotic is that? How harmonious is that? That's so beautiful. And we'll get more into the content of Elemental Alchemist, but I want to also ask Kamishka. So your artwork is just incredibly, it's vibrant, it's full of life. What inspired your artistic direction for this deck? And how did you connect with the themes, which we'll talk about the themes in a bit, of the elements and the ancestors and decolonization through your illustration?
So at the time I was back in South Africa in Cape Town, and Grace and Nasha came up to me and said, okay, we're working on this deck and we think you'd be a good fit. We had basically worked on Black Tarot, which was soon to be published, I think, that year. So I'd already developed this illustration style through Black Tarot, and Nyasha and I had been chatting a lot about ideas and places, and one of the things that we've included throughout the deck was African patterns. And it was something, like, it was a topic that came up often for us, and you know, the vibrancy of all the patterns and where that comes from. And being South African, not technically Black South African, I kind of did feel like I had a connection to South Africa, and I loved the vibrancy of the patterns. And so we kind of worked together. We were also going through different changes in our lives, where we were dealing with different elements. And so I feel like slowly through our conversations, that worked its way into the deck itself, through the illustrations themselves.
Like I said, your art is just so vibrant. And I have the Black Tarot deck there and I love it. It's actually one of my favorites. I already told Niasha that. And I have a lot of Oracle decks. Not to brag. I'd say this season, there are days that scream full autumn glam for my makeup routine. But then, of course, there are days that call for a simple, fresh face, radiant glow. Whatever I choose, I am using Thrive Cosmetics. Thrive Cosmetics beauty products are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, made with clean, skin-loving ingredients, high-performance and trademarked formulas, and uncompromising standards. And it's easy to see why their bestsellers have thousands of five-star reviews. I mean, I'm so grateful that Thrive high-performance formulas are not only good for my skin and good for my face, but also with every purchase, we are giving back to communities as Thrive Cosmetics donates to 8 major causes. It's in the name, Thrive Cosmetics, C-A-U-S-E. And so they donate to those impacted by cancer, domestic abuse, veteran, and education organizations. And so Thrive Cosmetics, they have this liquid lash extensions mascara that is my absolute favorite mascara of all time. Helps me achieve a stunning lash look without the clumping and smudging and flaking. And it makes my lashes just look extra long without any damaging glue or salon prices. It's a wonderful. Of course, it's easy to remove, which I appreciate. It slides right off with warm water and a washcloth. No soap required. It has nourishing ingredients that supports longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And their flake-free tubing formula dramatically lengthens and defines your lashes from root to tip. So brighten up your fall look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 20% off your first order. You and I both know that what we put on our skin matters, but have you ever thought about how you apply it might be even more important and effective? Since 2019, Anissa Beauty has been shaking up the beauty world with their vegan, cruelty-free brushes that are as good for your skin as they are for the planet. Founded by Anissa Telwar-Kiker, who brings over 30 years of beauty industry know-how, this brand is all about pushing boundaries with innovative, high-quality brushes that make your routine feel luxe. Their Pinnacle Foundation Brush has gone viral for a good reason. It's a must-have for beauty lovers everywhere. What makes Anissa Beauty stand out is that they've completely changed the game by designing skincare brushes that pair perfectly with your moisturizers, serums, and cleansers. They're one of the few brands that truly understand that how you apply your products can make all the difference, helping your skin soak up every drop of goodness. Ooh, and let's talk about the Pinnacle Foundation Brush. As someone who is a skincare lover, I'd say that this one is a game changer for me. I mean, this brush is the gateway to realizing that the tool you use can be even more important than the product itself. And it doesn't matter what the foundation is. I gotta say that this brush makes it look like I'm rocking some sort of $200 high-end formula. And the finish is flawless. And it's not just for foundation either. Thanks to its unique triangular shape, it fits perfectly into every nook and cranny on your face. So whether it's foundation, contour, or highlighter, this brush does it all with precision. And Anissa's skincare brushes prove that you don't even have to use your hands anymore, because Pinnacle Skin Brush does all the heavy lifting, applying everything from your serums to moisturizers evenly and effortlessly. And these brushes aren't just tools, they're the secret to elevating your entire beauty routine. And Anissa has a very special offer for you. Check out the Pinnacle Foundation Brush as well as several other amazing brushes at anissabeauty.com and get 30% off site-wide with code MAGIC. That's A-N-I-S-A beauty.com for 30% off site-wide with code MAGIC. You've mentioned decolonization of the mind and spirit as key to this deck. Could you share more about what that process has looked like for each of you and how it's reflected in the cards?
For me, I feel as though I started the process of decolonization around 2020. And it started with myself first, just realizing that I had no tools to help ground me and heal me. And as I was coming more into the next phase of my life, which was becoming an adult, there were certain things that I was noticing that it's almost as if I just couldn't not see them anymore. It's like I had been walking around and I hadn't seen anything. And then I was unable to get past how different the world was in terms of like disconnecting people from their heritage. And then at that point, I was also traveling. I traveled to the States. So it was kind of interesting because my process of decolonization didn't start in South Africa, but I had to leave to really take in a different type of society to understand what could potentially be different about where I'm from and how I was raised and how the type of person that made me. So I started writing more. I took a creative course that actually Nyasha hosted. It was a cohort, and I met a couple great people on there as well. But we had this workbook, and it was all about decolonization through creativity. While I was doing this, I was also really putting in, you know, the work for myself. I was going to therapy and really getting to a place where it was okay that I didn't get all the, I guess, cultural nutrition that I feel like I needed, but I was in a place where I could give that to myself. It was like in my hands to learn more about my heritage, to learn more about my family tree. And as I did, it was a feeling I hadn't had in any other place, I think, where that feeling by society is expected by you. For instance, like going to church didn't feel like what it felt like to be reconnecting with my ancestors. And the art was really coming through. We were working on The Elemental Alchemist as well at the same time. And the timing of all of this was very intentional. But a combination of us doing that project, participating in the cohort, discussing with other people from different heritages as well, learning from them, it was a really incredible experience. And from that point onwards, I think I just saw how healing creativity could be to the process of decolonization. And I have been doing the shadow work and keeping myself creative as a way to keep myself connected to my ancestors. And I still learn about them all the time. So I would say it's been a really incredible journey up until now.
I just was going to say, I feel like Grace is selling herself short. She inspired me so much when she was out here. Just the way she was connecting with her ancestors was so powerful. Like, she was so tapped into hearing them. I want her to expand on like the ways, like the very specific ways, like the singing and stuff that came through in terms of her building a relationship with her ancestors.
Moments like this, I am glad that I shared that stuff because it's stuff even I would forget. But I, in the process of learning about them and all the places they were from, to make them more comfortable with the space, when I set up an altar, I took the time to learn the national anthems of the different countries that they're from, which was Malawi and Lesotho, and also South African national anthem. And all three of them together was really powerful because I felt like those two nations, Malawi and Lesotho, had joined and met in love in South Africa. And South Africa is Rainbow Nation. So I would, you know, sing the songs to them and learn. At some point I memorized them. It was really great. And that form of just practice with them, and I was working with candles at the time to try and build a connection with the fire element, which never really seemed like something that I think I thought I would take to. I've always been more into earthing and grounding energy. But I started working with the candles and I really started hearing them. And at first I thought I was totally wild. I was like, whoa, I need some rest. Maybe I'm not so well, but it's like the more I did it, the more I could tell that their energy was there. And it's very true that we keep people alive by intentionally keeping them alive. I really did build and feel their spirit through doing that. And I was also able to learn national anthems from where my ancestors are from.
That is wild. And national anthems that you didn't even know, they just kind of came through to you?
Yeah.
That's so wild.
Yeah. I put in like some time, and I think it was mostly just putting the time to heal myself, because when we heal ourselves, it inspires others around us to do the same. And I think the spirits that did come to me, and for us to work together and collaborate. And I feel like that's what we're always doing when we communicate with other people, is we're collaborating. But when I feel like they came with the spirit of collaboration, it was because I presented myself with the spirit of healing, and that was something that we could work on together as a lineage, as ancestors, and as the person here who can help and aid, and they can also help and aid.
Cool. And I'm curious, does your oracle deck and guidebook help others tap into this ancestral guidance? Because I'm sure a lot of people listening would love to through the cards or however else they could connect with their ancestors.
I will say that Grace made some really beautiful spreads. Grace has a really beautiful way of building relationship with divinational tools. And so she's always saying it's important to, you know, interview the whatever divinational tool you're going to connect with. And so Grace created some beautiful spreads for people to utilize in building a relationship with your decks, your divinational tools, and connecting with anything you're trying to divine from. So I'll say that is definitely there. In terms of building the relationship with the ancestors through the elements, that I would say comes stronger in the journal. So there's obviously the deck itself, but we had a journal created and you spend 3 weeks with each element. And there's beautiful spiritual tracker. I feel like it's like the tracker we all need in terms of taking care of our spiritual hygiene, in terms of filling up our cups, in terms of making space for meditation. And I don't mean meditation where you have to just be silent and sit. I'm like, gardening can be meditation for people. It looks different for everybody and what that looks like. But making sure you're making space for that regularly and making that regular practice. So I do feel like in those ways, you'd be connecting with spirit, your ancestors, and your guides.
That's very cool. And then also on that note, you've mentioned having to break down mental walls imposed by colonization to connect with your ancestral practices, Niasha. How do you think that this deck can help others on a similar journey?
I mean, and I think it just keeps coming back to the elements, right? Because I think that our disconnection with the elements makes us move in ways that are maybe not as accommodating. Like when we understand that our fates are intertwined with the earth, then maybe we'll move a little differently, right? Because if the earth is not here, if the earth is not healthy, if it's not okay, we're all not okay. Like we can't function. So literally coming back to the earth and listening to it, I was like, I love watching like documentaries about people who are very connected to the elements. And you just see how they move so differently in terms of like, if they're going to cut down a tree, they'll ask, is it okay? Can we cut you down? And I just feel like colonization just took all of that kind of like respectful, you know, relations with nature away. And so a lot of us are trying to come back and reclaim those. The talking to the plants is super, super powerful. You know, I talk to my trees. When I walk out, the first thing I do is greet the trees in my yard. I greet the land. I greet the ancestors of the land, ancestors of the trees, the soil. I greet any deities that are in connection with those things. That's the first thing I do when I walk out my front door anytime. Because I think it's important to honor and recognize, like, let them know that you see them, you recognize that, you know, and then if I get into a body of water, I talk to the water. I'm like, thank you for all that you're doing for me in this moment, all that you're cleansing and clearing, all that you're reminding me and bringing forth in memories for me, because water carries memories. So I'm like, everything that you are reminding me that I may have forgotten that needs to come back to me, thank you for bringing it back to me. You know, if it's a pool, I'm even in the place of like, it feels like a little bit like restricted, like a zoo. I'm like, I'm sorry that you're restricted in this body, but still thank you for everything that you're doing, because it's not free flowing as water may want to be. So just honoring, you know, the elements in all the ways that they are, because in the ways that we are moving with them and being conscious in the ways that we are moving with the elements. Every time I drink water, I was like, I speak to it before I bless it. I thank it, any food and drink, because it's going into your body. You want to thank the plants, thank the elements, thank anything that you're taking in honor of what it's able to do for you. Right. So I just try and build those relationships, and I feel like, you know, there's studies done on this if you need the scientifics, but I feel like as soon as you start building that relationship with the land, with the elements, everything really starts shifting in how you see and view things and move in our world and move in relationship with ourselves, with our communities, with society, with everything around us.
I do remember some studies. I remember the study, it was a crystal study. Do you know which one I'm about to bring up? Yeah, a researcher in Japan found that when you said, I love you or you're beautiful, some sort of positive affirmation to the crystal, it decided to form and crystallize in a beautiful, more sparkly way. Whereas when you either neglected it or actually sent negative energy to it, it was just a little more dull. There was not as much life to the crystal. I wish I remember the study what the name was.
I think I've heard that about plants. Like, we do it with kids, like, in terms of, like, giving loving energy to plants or, you know. But water is powerful. I was like, it is a powerful conduit. It's so, such a magical being. I was like, I keep thinking of the TikTok video where they say, what if water is God? Like, and you can replace that obviously with whoever you want to replace that with. But just thinking of it in that sense, water, we're 70% water. You think about everything needing water. Water is literally life. Like, just sitting in that, you know?
Totally. And Kamishka, I'm curious, when you were working with their words and whatever they brought to you, their spreads that they work with, and they asked for you to illustrate, were there other routines or rituals or anything you picked up and started to integrate into your own life?
Yeah. So when we started off, I think I was in a really good place. We were all doing the course at the same time. So at that point, I think it was a very pivotal point for me. I was in Cape Town being like surrounded by nature, water, just everything beautiful in spirit. And I felt like as I looked through their words, and usually when we work together, Nyasha creates like a PDF document for me with certain elements and things that she wants to include in each illustration. And I just felt like I was really connected to that at that time. And so as I looked at each sort of reference image, something around me sort of popped up. Like if I went for a run or a hike, you know, I either started seeing like a lot of the imagery around me. And so I would come back to my apartment and then just sketch the next one. It was so different from the Black Tarot, where this one, I could just see everything. And we worked through the illustrations quite quickly because I felt like we all were on the same sort of level at that time. Like we all were in the same space. We were all creating things together. Whenever we did have meetings to talk about an image or a reference image that came to mind, we didn't have a lot of problems at all. I felt like everything just flowed really easily. And it could be because of the spaces that we were in. Like we were all in very, very calm spaces when we were creating at least the illustration part. It was just really magical. So each one, each card, each element brought something different to my life, for sure.
I must say that I'm happy to report that I've been doing a pretty dang good job at maintaining optimal hormone levels. Because for me, feeling my best means taking a holistic approach to wellness, where nature-inspired ingredients meet science. So, allow me to introduce Estro Control. Estro Control is a formula developed by Happy Mammoth, a supplement company dedicated to making women's lives easier. And Estro Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health, especially in women who suffer from PMS. And the way Estro Control eases PMS is honestly quite interesting. So the ingredients help support the liver, and that's where our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when the estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, women may start having PMS, spots on the skin, get intense cravings, maybe feel low all of a sudden. And so Estro Control was created to help women feel like themselves all throughout the month, because let's be honest, PMS can rob us of a good week in our lives every month, and that's not fair. So that is why I'm going to shout about Estro Control on top of the mountains. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MAGIC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code MAGIC for 15% off today. Thank you. That's awesome. It makes the visual that you just painted right there. It's like this was definitely so divinely orchestrated in some way, shape, or form, which is beautiful. It was definitely meant to happen.
So I just wanted to also point out, I think like when it comes to offerings in terms of connecting with your ancestors or guides or deities or whoever you're working with, I think why I loved Grace's singing so much was because it was this beautiful reminder that you don't even need to have anything really physical or purchase anything to give offering, right? I think a lot of times people think, oh, you got to buy flowers, alcohol. There's just these like very stereotypical things to do, which all take resources and stuff. And I think what was so beautiful about Grace's singing and the ways that she was connected with ancestors, it was like, this was just from her body coming forth, right? Very naturally. And I think that like, sometimes we forget there's so many ways to give offerings. That is something I'm working on with a friend, is like a new deck in relation to just connecting with offerings, and just reimagining what offerings can look like. Yes, but I just think Grace was like that beautiful reminder that like you literally don't have to purchase anything. There's ways to give offering through your dedication, because Grace was dedicated. She was disciplined. She was singing daily for them. She was learning the songs. And, you know, that is offering in itself.
And Grace, I know you said you had an altar as well, but it also sounds like you just showing up sounds like that was all you really needed to connect with your ancestors. And I feel like a lot of people listening want to have that connection. But if there's anything you can share to help us tap into spirit and also connect with our ancestors, since you're so tuned in without having to buy all the divinational tools, I'd love to hear it.
So I would say the first thing that I had to understand about it was it is a process of patience, because they're not going to respond immediately. They're not going to come forward to somebody who's doing it on a whim, because it's kind of like starting a novel or starting a really big project. You really want to get somebody that's invested, who's going to see it through to the end. So the process of patience and dedication is you have to be patient during your practice of showing dedication to them. And water as well. Water is especially important to drink, to have in your space, in your altar. It's a really easy element to access in comparison to like if you're in a space where you can't burn candles or, but having, you know, water over your head or under your bed when you sleep is really great for clearing of your mind. And I have also noticed that in the process of regularly tending to my altar, which the journal encourages with the magical housekeeping and meditating, those encourage like cleanliness just in the space, which welcomes spirits who come with high vibrations and good vibrations to the space. And I would say that ever since I started more actively and intentionally working with my altar, it really helps me in being able to analyze and see things much better. My dreams, remembering them is also like so much easier. And I know it took a long time to get there. It took like the mental fortitude to kind of just keep going. And in the spaces when things seem a bit low, it's really easy, just like any situation, to lose faith. So having faith during low times is also really important, because we're always being tested. Yes, Nyasha.
I was just going to say, okay, so I have a couple things. One, I was going to say, in terms of like building relationship with your guides, your ancestors, the deities that you work with, whoever you're working with, they're always sending signs. They're trying to connect with us and reach out with us, especially when you're trying to signal that you're ready to work with them. Now, sometimes the way they communicate may be challenging for you to understand, like Grace said about dreams. I was like, you know, there's plant allies that you can use to help you remember your dreams better and different things like that. But I always say, like, ask your guides, speak openly to them and say, please try and connect me in a way that, like, I can receive, I can understand, I can see, right? And this is why also in the beginning, you know, we're using tools a lot. That's why a lot of us are relying on decks and divinational tools to understand. Whereas, like, once the relationship becomes stronger and stronger, you won't need the tools anymore. That would be the ultimate goal, is just to know what spirit's saying and hear that and be able to divine and discern and have that intuition intuitively come through very clearly. But in the beginning, when you're still building a relationship, when you're still figuring out who they are, you're still feeling out their energy, you're still building that relationship, tools are very helpful. And that's why connecting with a deck that you can understand very clearly. You know, Black Tarot is so easy for me to understand. When I pull Black Tarot cards, I'm like, oh yeah, that's very easy for me to know what's going on or what that means, because I was like, I created the visuals in mind for myself of like what the meaning behind those cards, how that will clearly be understanding for myself. So just making space for that. I love that Grace talked about, you know, the dedication and the patience. Because yeah, they want to show that they want to see that you're committed. It's funny because I know that there's people who pull cards and they get upset because they always get really negative cards. And I laugh, like, or as they perceive negative, right? Because I don't think everything is just a snapshot of that moment. It's like everything's shifting all the time. And they might just be warning you about something, or like, hey, you're in this zone right now, shift out of this, or giving you a heads up. But I say, if you get that a lot, if you're oftentimes your like readings feel like a little heavier all the time, a little bit harsher, I was like, how often are you pulling? Because if you're only pulling so often, your ancestors have to give you the most extreme messages, like the most like pertinent information, because you don't pull often enough, right? You're not building that connection and speaking to them daily and having daily chats. So they're having to, when you do pull, they're like, oh man, okay, what are they, like they're all in a conference room above and like, what do we say to her? What do we say? How do we get this information out? Because, you know, there's stuff coming and it's like, we want to tell her these great things and all this awesome stuff, but like also we're going to probably have to stick to like the more like really serious messages, because they're pulling only now and they don't pull often enough. So this is where I say like daily practice, even just pulling one card a day or three cards a day, I was like, you'll see your reading shifts so much if you're making regular practice for that communication. When Grace was also talking about that, there's a beautiful deck I love. It's called the Hoodoo Tarot. It's like one of my, I was definitely inspired by this when I wrote Black Tarot. I love the Hoodoo Tarot. But when we talk about that like discipline and that patience and that like dedication, I always think of Miss Ida. So what I love about this deck is that they took real root workers. Every card is related to real root workers who were doing this work, who were conjuring, who were doing root work, who were like doing this divinational work and supporting community, hoodoo, all the vibes, right? Historically. So I love this deck for this reason, because it like literally allows me to tap in ancestrally and learn about people who are doing this work before us. But Miss Ida is the High Priestess. That's what card she stands for. So they have a biblical quote, but then they also have a plant, which is the Jersey tea. But the description says, the image is a 7-year-old Ida is standing in the attic surrounded by candles. It is dark, but she is not afraid, because she's an old soul who understands she's never really alone. Ida, Seven Sisters Carter, was a root worker from Hogansville, Alabama. There isn't much information about Miss Ida, but she told an interviewer that she was called to root working at just 7 years old. Miss Ida recalled the process of her self-initiation, which consisted of burning 7 candles all night while she prayed, starting on the 1st of May, continuing for 6 consecutive nights. Miss Ida repeated this process each May for 7 years until the Holy Spirit told her she was ready to work for the community. So I just always think of that, when that discipline and like, you know, she's sitting doing this for 7 years, sitting for 7 days, praying all night. I just like, whatever that looks like for you in terms of your discipline with your guides, figuring out what that's going to look like for you.
I feel like I've moved around a lot, so there's not enough space for me to take things with me. In my Black Tarot deck, I actually had to leave behind because I didn't have space to take it with me and then bring it back again. In the Hindu religion, there's a lot that you kind of learn about connection, spiritual guides. They teach you that it's always around you, whether you're practicing or not practicing, or you're spiritually connected or not. Everything around you will always create that moment, that feeling. Like you could be having a bad day and there's actually a storm brewing outside. And if you realize that storm is relating to something that's happening right now, you don't necessarily have to ask your ancestors. You kind of know. Like they always say that it's like it's within you. You are the God, you know? And so I think that's like something that, you know, sometimes we rely on a lot of divinational tools to help us to answer a question or something. But you actually, the answer is always within you. It's just something that I've also realized now being back home and just sort of going to temple regularly, having conversations with my grandmother, that we forget these things and we might rely on a crystal or, you know, everyone's idea of a guide or a spiritual connection is related to something totally different. But we should always kind of remember that it's the answer or the person that you're trying to connect with is yourself.
So beautifully said. It's just a tool. It really is. It's just a tool. And one of your tools, so you do provide a journal. I would love to talk a bit about the journal because it complements the deck. And I think that that's great that you have those together. How do you see journaling enhancing the experience of working with these oracle decks and helping people connect with their guides or their ancestors, whatever it is that makes them feel tuned in?
I think the original concept of even turning the deck into a journal came from how healing the process of writing is. And in writing the oracle deck and just feeling healed in having created a tool that is like a tool that we created to use to help enhance the communication. Because there are a lot of linguistics involved in the spiritual guide human communication. But the process of writing has always been, I think, really healing, and it puts us in a moment of realization. And with the information in it paired with different activities, there's some observational, there are observational, elemental observations, and the purpose of them is to really get you to connect. And when you write it, they say if you want to see it happen, write it down. So when you're in the process of journaling while doing the elemental activity and while using the oracle deck, it's like physically writing out and realizing the emotions that are in there. And I think that makes the communication, the desire, the dedication, the intention, the process of writing it makes it real. And that includes with shadow work. Is most of the shadow work that we have is stuff that we don't want to deal with, we don't want to accept about ourselves, or we're ashamed of. And to write it is a form of releasing it. And then to read it is like, can be an escape or a memory to read and be like, wow, this is how I was feeling. This is what I went through. And it's because I actually had something happen to me. I wrote something that had been on my chest for like weeks. I wrote it down and it was like 15 minutes of really good bars. And I was feeling incredible. I was like, oh, I finally got it off my chest. And I felt like I just couldn't get it out fast enough. My brain was running and I was trying to write and it just wasn't happening fast enough. And I remember that I went to bed, really slept really well because I got it off my chest. And when I woke up, it was completely erased. I don't know what happened to it. I was like, did I travel to a realm where it just doesn't exist? Because I'm the only person who even knows what I wrote when I wrote. And it felt like it just jumped all the way back into me because I didn't have a physical page where it was. It's a way to store things externally, which I think increases our capacity to think clearer.
There's something really special about this journal. I realized that when Nyasha and I kind of looked at journals before when working on the previous deck, I started doing a bit of research on people and their minds. And this journal in particular has a lot of things that kind of remind you, because I feel like if you're just journaling, sometimes you're just journaling your thoughts or your feelings or whatever that come to you. But there's certain things you forget. And especially in this journal, there's, you know, a reminder to clean up your altar space. There's a reminder of like gratitude. There's, you know, filling up your cup. And there's spaces for, there's like these topics that are in your mind that kind of help you connect better with things or places around you. And so I feel like in this journal, you have the space to think of all those different like topics or, you know, that sort of help you sort of guide you in the best direction possible. Whereas other journals are just sort of there just for your personal use. This one is definitely helping you step by step, whether you've done a reading or not, which kind of makes it really special in its own way.
And I'll say the other aspect about this journal that's really cool is that, like, I love bullet journals. I think like the aesthetic of them is just so cool. But I'm not really an illustrator. I don't draw. So I was like, I want people to feel the energy of a bullet journal without having the need to be able to know how to draw. So Kamishka designed these beautiful visuals that are related to each element for the trackers. And so you color them in as you're doing it. So you color in each time you do meditation, you color in when you fill up your cup, you color in the sections when you change the water on your altar or when you clean your altar. So we created these beautiful visual trackers that are bullet journal inspired for people to, you know, connect with the journal in this other way that I feel like I wanted it to be accessible to everyone in that way.
Yeah. In terms of, it's the journal and the oracle deck, but as much as words have a great impact, what really draws people in is the visuals. And when we think and imagine and comprehend stuff, to stimulate imagination, it really does come down to the visuals. I think that, you know, it's a really important aspect of writing that it sometimes just doesn't get enough love, because what would be on the cover of the book without like the visuals? What would really make people resonate? So I feel like, you know, the words are the impact, but the illustration is the magnetic vibration, and together they kind of just work together to be the tool that whoever needs it, needs.
Very, very special. You guys have created some magic, I gotta say.
So I pulled a card before we started. I lit my candles, pulled the card. It was crazy because the card that came up was definitely the one in my head, which is the ancestors. So that's part of the spirit section. So this is what Grace and I wrote together. Loved ones and those who carried your blood, who walked this earth before you, are reaching out. They want to connect. Do you hear their calls? Who better to guide you on this challenging, difficult, and enriching journey than those who hold you in their spirit and heart? Speak to them. Lay your worries at their altar. Your ancestors are your biggest cheerleaders. Pay homage to your lineage, as their sacrifices, known and unknown, have gotten you to where you are now. Work toward gracefully receiving and giving your community, gracefully giving and receiving. Your community extends beyond the physical realm. And then these are the questions we have. Are you seeing the signs? When was the last time you spent time in nature? How is the health of your ancestral altar? And take action. We have a take action step for every card. Call out to invoke ancestral veneration. Speak out loud as frequently as you feel called. Ancestors known and unknown, who want wealth in all of its forms for me and my family, Be with me now. Please guide me on my path with your wisdom and guidance. I am the root of your root, soil of your soil, bone of your bone, blood of your blood. Walk with me in the commitment to lineage. Walk with me in the commitment to our lineage and show me how to grow our legacy.
So it's kind of interesting because she read it and I was like, did we write this? What? It's so wise. And, you know, so I definitely have those moments of like during the process of writing. Sometimes there's automatic writing. And I just think it happens during the process of writing. You have these stories that have like an internal need to be told. And so when I'm in the process, in the zone, or kind of like at the runner's high of the writing process, it feels more like water just flowing through me. It's and water is creative, so that makes sense. But it's as though as I can feel like what they're feeling in their chest. And that makes it really easy to describe because I can feel it. And I think it's just in different ways. Like we feel the spirits around us, within us, and we connect with the elements and spirits in the same way. How we feel when we go for a fresh walk in nature, after a swim, a hike, any activity that really does have you engage with spiritual energy, I feel like is something that engages at least one of your senses. Even eating and drinking water, I feel like that is a very spiritual thing. That's why the offering of food and of water matters, because it's that concept of nourishing us. So I feel as though if it engages your senses, that is a feeling. And a feeling is part of spirit, as the essence. So connecting the ancestors and that being an essential part of spirit is we enter in different ways. We enter through our ancestors, and sometimes we enter through transformation. But at some point we arrive and the things in our lives just start to change. Whether we're ready or not, whether we're spiritual or not, the seasons change and they definitely influence everything else that happens with us. So it's better to be tuned in and really paying attention to ourselves and our bodies is a great way to tap into ourselves and spiritual energy.
A lot of our writing, Grace and I were like in my office here together, like on the floor and just sitting together. And, yeah, I think sometimes when we were writing certain things, we would like sit with the specific element that we were working on. But I also think, like, I don't feel like I write alone. I was like, you know, your ancestral team doesn't just have to be your blood ancestors. It's, I call in anyone who's in alignment with me towards what I feel called to do down here. So if you feel like you're working towards collective liberation, if you working towards the betterment of our world, come through, let's work together, you know? And that's who I call in. And that is, you know, ancestors who maybe didn't get a chance to write and I'm writing something that feels very aligned for them. They come through and I feel like they write with me and they like they're coming through with the pen. I will say that also plant allies. I was like, we live in Colorado. Like, I will say that working with cannabis and stuff can be like an easier way to like allow spirit to come through too, and hear spirit if you are struggling, you know, and it doesn't have to be a lot, but just a light amount to like allow spirit to just come through and hear spirit. And but yes, I was like, I mean, it's crazy sometimes. Like I'll say the trifecta, which is just blows my mind, is like if I have a candle lit, if I'm like have indulged in some cannabis and I, you know, have a spiritual oil on, like whether I've made it or my go-to, like Grace and I love Art of Root. That is like our shop for spiritual oils. If you have those on your candle, you're wearing it on yourself, I'm like, you actually feel overwhelmed with how many downloads you'll get. It's like so overwhelming. Like they're just so powerful. You actually like are going to be like, whew, okay. So I'm like, you can either do one, the trifecta, two, but like there's lots of, you just have to figure out ways to allow spirit to talk to you. I always say in terms of the elements, go sit with an element that feels correct for you. So whatever element feels good to you, like water is mine. So when I'm in the shower, I'll talk to my guides. I'll go to a pool. I'll sit and speak to my guides and I'll say, this is what I'm thinking about. This is where I'm stuck. This is what I'm confused about. Can you speak to me? Can you show me? And sometimes I have to go to the pool like four or five times before I get that clarity. But I was like, I keep asking and opening space for them to come through. And sometimes it's like, I'm just showering and I'm like, oh, Eureka, here it is. Like, I got it. So it really can be different, but, and then sometimes I'm not even looking and I'm in the shower and I like get an answer and I'm like, oh, very, so much clarity for me right now. So, you know, all of those different ways to connect with spirit, sit with spirit and allow spirit to come through in terms of receiving and hearing and getting guidance.
Very cool. I am craving this experience now. It's been a minute. I've felt spirit before when I'm in the midst of writing. Last question I ask all your magic guests. How would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
Inspiration's everywhere. If you're just sitting with yourself and usually wherever you feel the most comfortable, and if something sparks you, like if you saw someone walk by that just had this beautiful yellow dress, and you felt like, I don't know, this just makes you so happy that you want to create something or you want to do something. Don't like fill yourself with any negative thoughts, you know, do it. Like just follow the trend. Just, okay, you saw yellow, pick up a yellow pencil or pick up some yellow paint. And if you feel the need to dip your fingers in the paint, dip your fingers in the paint. It's the start of something magical. Like it might not be that specific thing that you just did, but it could be that just by dipping your fingers into the paint, you had a spark of inspiration and you thought, okay, this is actually what I want to do. I want to create pottery, you know, or I want to create a divinational tool. That's my sort of inspiration. I know, especially with like the deck or creating any illustrations, especially this deck, I got a lot of inspiration from just sitting in a space like coffee shops. I love them. I feel so comfortable in them. Not all of them, but like there's certain ones where I just feel really, really, really comfortable. And I'd usually sit there and sometimes, you know, I'd see someone just smile at me or say hello or like I said, someone walks by with a yellow dress and suddenly there's just this spark that happens and this joy. And I use that. Sometimes it can lead me down a busy street somewhere, but I kind of go with it. And you never know your creative, like your story or your thing that you're trying to create will just come from it.
I love that. You took us inside your creative mind. And your process, in a sense, too. So thank you, Kamishka. And then Grace.
It's really easy to get overwhelmed by sometimes when the creative flow starts going. For me, sometimes it's really easy to be dissuaded from doing a project because I'm like, oh, I have so many already. But don't be discouraged because of how much is flowing. And sometimes it's okay to like stop working on like one project to give love to another because they're all going to get done, or what needs to get done will get done. So if I spent less time being overwhelmed by how many ideas I have and how they're all in like five different binders, I might actually have like a lot more time to organize my binders instead of being overwhelmed. So yeah, that's my magical tip, you know, don't get overwhelmed by the the creative work that starts to pile up sometimes.
Ooh, so good, because we can all be paralyzed by that, indeed. So thank you. And Niasha, you will likely answer this differently for the third time.
My challenge to your listeners is to imagine. So I feel like a lot of times when we sit in our spiritual walks and our spiritual journeys, and we sit with tarot and oracle, we're generally focusing on self. We're focusing on, you know, our personal healing and our personal journey. And that is important. We do need to do that work. But my challenge is to expand that collectively. And so starting to look beyond yourself, looking at how the work that you're doing can be done in collective collaboration towards the betterment of our world. And so I'm going to give more inspiration behind this, but this is my book for the year. I'm obsessed with this book. It's called 78 Acts of Liberation, Tarot to Transform Our World. It is phenomenal. The author follows me on Instagram and was inspired actually by Black Tarot and visuals they saw in Black Tarot. And they reached out to me and asked me to do sensitivity read for this book. So I was a supporter in that way for this book. But this book, the author, Lane is what their name is, Lane Smith, they were inspired by thinking about the tarot as collectives. So when we see the tarot deck, especially our major arcana, we see it as individual people, right? You've got like the Fool and you've got like the Magician, it's one person, and you've got the High Priestess, and everyone's an individual person. This whole book is about reimagining the tarot deck as collectives, and not just any collectives, collectives that fought for liberation in our world. So we're talking Black Panther Party. We're talking about all of these really powerful communities and collectives that have helped bring liberation and fight for liberation within our world. And so it's just a super powerful book. I can't go on and on about it. It's like I'm trying to buy it for everybody because it's so good. It's so phenomenal. And I just like, when I interviewed them, I was like, are you creating a deck? Because what? Like, I want this deck with these collectives, because I'm like, that would be so visually like, what? And they said the deck is not for them to create. They just wanted to write the book. But I was like, you've inspired me. I'm like seeing and envisioning so much in relation to that. But I just want to invite people to challenge the way that they're moving with divinational tools, challenge the way that they're moving with their spiritual walk, in how that they can expand the way that they're moving towards collective change.
As Nasha was talking about collectively, thinking about the collective, something that's really important with creativity is that the people you surround yourself with really matter in terms of helping you with your creativity and really helping you expand on that. I don't think that anything creative is just from oneself. It's either people in the background who are really supporting you, or you're working together like we did on a deck with different strengths, different weaknesses, and sort of putting it together and motivating one another to keep pursuing our dreams or following our inspiration. I think that's really important, because I think since the pandemic, we've realized that we're not just alone in doing things. A lot of us managed to do the things we never imagined because we were helping each other. So I think that's like maybe the most important thing. And I hope it's something that everyone can see from the deck itself, that, you know, working together and trying to create this vision was a collective thing. It wasn't just one person's idea.
Yeah, I say this often and loudly. I do not believe in being self-made. I think that is a myth. I don't think that's real. I believe that even if it's not financial support, because I think people automatically think, well, I didn't get financial support with this and I built this from the ground up. And I was like, yeah, but you can get help in other ways. And especially those of us who consider, like, you know, support comes from not this physical realm, like our ancestors also support us. So I feel like when you collect all of that, there's no such thing as being self-made. We are all supporting each other in the building and creating and things coming together.
In terms of helping each other and being creative, I just also wanted to highlight that we actually, Nyasha and I host a writer's accountability space every Sunday. So, and we just have a couple hours where we all work individually on whatever actually we just need to be held accountable on, not necessarily writing, but we just kind of also created that space because it is easier as a collective to work together on getting stuff done than having to self-motivate all the time.
Very cool. Is that the one that you shared last time?
Yeah.
As well? Yeah. I love that idea. That's so cool.
Yes. So it's 50 minutes of writing, 10 minutes of like 50 minutes of silent working, and then 10 minutes talk, 50 minutes of silent working, 10 minutes talk, 50 minutes. So you're getting this space to really work on whatever you need to work on. But you're doing it in community and you have this accountability every Sunday. So I love doing hosting that with Grace. It's beautiful. It's a lovely space. The other thing I will say is if there are people who are trying to expand their brain in decolonizing and shifting and moving things, I am also hosting in November a decolonizing adoption programming. This is the third year it's running. And so this year I'm co-hosting. Normally I'm just supporting or like one of the running one of the sessions, but this year I am co-hosting it and we are centering it in creative resistance. And so thinking about really examining art done by adoptees. In a basic sense, like I think if you haven't reflected on this at all, it's like the voices we hear loudest in the adoptee community are the parents who are doing the adopting and the adoption agencies. So we are trying to amplify the voices of adoptees themselves and birth parents. And so we're trying to shift that and really, you know, adoption is a lot more complex than I think people realize, and it's very layered. And I just want people to make space for seeing it in a different light and listening to adoptee voices who are adults and what they're processing and going through and how they're showcasing that in their art.
Very beautiful. Thank you for sharing all of that. And also, where can everyone connect with all of you?
Instagram and TikTok.
I'll link all your usernames if you want to send them to me.
I shall do that.
I am Writing to Change the Narrative on Instagram. And then I have a Substack, which I really love. Substack, that's such an awesome community. They say it's like the Wattpad Tumblr adult, like, you know, community that like those Wattpad Tumblr kids who shifted into adulthood, we've created Substack. And so I love Substack. So Substack's amazing. Yeah, those are my main spaces that I feel like I'm really posting and sharing. But yeah, if you live in Colorado, I try and do a lot of local things. Like I have one more market this year. I also have my book coming out this year. So there's literally in Colorado an event going on this whole month for my book that comes out this month. So I try and be pretty active in my state. But I also try and do a lot of virtual things like the decolonizing adoption program is all virtual. So anyone who wants to be a part of that and experience that can experience that with us.
Well, I'm mostly on Instagram. I feel like it's really the space that I've created a good community. You can find me on Instagram or Facebook.
Amazing. Well, I want to thank you for spending your time and also sharing your wisdom and your creativity with myself and the listeners. And it's very clear that Elemental Alchemists is not just a deeply intentional and a profound piece of work, but it is divine. It sounds like it was a very harmonious experience that was meant to happen and create magic in the world. So thank you all for continuing to create magic in the world. And you're all just so beautiful. And I'm just so grateful. I'm feeling very grateful right now that you all came in, chatted with me today for the listeners.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us. It's been absolutely lovely to share the process of it.
Thank you so much. This has been lovely.
Yomis, that is a wrap. I hope this episode was expanding for you in some way, shape, or form. Feel free to visit our site at yourownmagic.com or check out my shop, eyesofaspen.com. Connect with the other Your Own Magic listeners. We would love to see more conversations started on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. So with all that being said, thank you so much again for tuning in, and I hope you have a magical rest of your day.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now, during our Veterans Day sale, save 40% on the Sleep Number Special Edition smart bed. Limited time. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.